Hello, everyone. So today is Saturday, the 23rd of November, 2024. It is the 160th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaran Vanaya. So I would like to welcome everyone who's joined via Zoom and everyone who'll be joining via Facebook live stream and anyone who will be watching later. I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Rohini for this session and also our program as usual will commence with an in-session practice of mindfulness and then we will move on to the talk on today's topic which we started last week and we will continue on with the same topic. Once we finish that, we will move on to any reports that we have received. We will present them to Venerable Rohini for her feedback. Once that's finished, we will have a little bit of time for questions from everyone. So to begin today's session, I would like to welcome Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you, Venerable.
Thank you, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today, I think, last week we did mindful sitting. So today we will do mindful walk. Mindful walking is a kind of energetic way of practicing mindfulness. So most people like to do the mindful walk rather than mindful sitting because it's not boring, it's active. So most of people like it. So for a mindful walk, we need to have a place or we need to have a path to walk without any disturbances. So that is the most important thing. Otherwise, your mind always distract with those, even though furniture or any plants or anything. If there is anything like that, so then your mind distract with those things, so it is a little bit hard. So in that reason, we need to have a clear path to walk, for a beginner, I mean. So when you find a clear path to walk, then you need to establish your mindfulness for the standing posture. Usually, I always say that if you focus on standing posture, while you are standing in the one end of the path, so that will help you to recollect your mind, which is distracted from other things, like thoughts, sounds, some visible things. So if you can concentrate on standing posture, that will help you to control, or not, I should not say control, but some kind of concentration without any distraction from other things. Because standing posture is, it's not moving. So it is easy to concentrate on that. So you can take 1 minute or 2 minutes, very little time, considering with the time we use for the mindful walk. So very little time you can use for the concentration on mindful posture. So while you are standing, and then you can start walking up and down where you choose to walk. While you are walking in the beginning, so you don't have to walk like, you know, just a leisurable walk without focusing anything. You can walk up and down for a couple of times. Then your body will understand what kind of speed is the best for now. That will change when you do the mindful walk in next time. But right now, what is the best speed is depend on your body language. So whatever the body says, slow or speedy, just follow it. So we are not prescribing any speed. It depends on individual and also the time of the day. So once you realize that what kind of pace, what kind of speed I should use, then you can use that speed. And while you are walking, you just concentrate on your body. So body has different movements while you are walking. You will find or you will notice that your body weight is shifting from one leg to the other or one side to the other. Your hip is moving. Both sides are moving in a different manner. Sometimes you might feel that your knees are bending. Those bending movements are like a wheel. It depends on it. Very, very, we can't say something this should be look at or this is the one you will see because everybody is different. Some people will follow the feelings that you find in your soles when you put your left foot. Maybe it is different. Maybe it is soft than the right foot. It usually maybe you are walking in the same place, maybe on a carpet or a tile floor or natural floor. It doesn't matter. The left foot is different to the right. You will understand it while you are doing this. When you understand, it will help you to understand our topic as well. So anyway, now it is time for us to have a mindful walk. So just find the right place and just have one or two, three times, just leisurable walk, and then find the real speed you want to walk. And just focus on walking body. What kind of movements you can find while you are walking? Just concentrate on that. If you hear anything, just don't worry. You can listen. You can use it as a mindful listening time. Once you finish listening, then you can bring your mindfulness back to the body, wherever you focus on. So let's do some mindful walk. Okay, everyone, we can start the next. Over to you, Sanali.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. We will continue the same topic as last week, which is the illusory truth effect. And I invite Venerable Rohini once again to start the talk on today's topic. Over to you, Venerable.
Hello, everyone. It's the same topic. Last week, I had to deliver it. So, illusionary truth in simple way. So, last week, we talked about what is this topic meant and what kind of places where it usually we can see. So we talk about media, especially in social media. So we usually blindly follow these gossips when it is happening repeatedly. When many people share the gossip or any social media photo or anything, so we blindly believe. And the same thing in the advertisement sector. So in advertisers, they use the repetitive action. So they use the advertisement repeatedly, and what people tend to use that kind of product. If you want to buy a toothbrush, you always go, you always remember the brand you see in advertisement. So that is what we're going to buy. Whether it is good or bad, we don't know until we buy it, until we use it. So what happened, we believe that the repetitive advertisement, and we use that advertisement as a chosen media or something to choose. So we use it as an information provider. Although they use their product and their specification of the product is not might not be the truth. So these things happen in media and advertisements. And we last week we finally came into myself, the self view. So we stop in there thinking and saying the self view is the most illusionary truth. So when Venerable Swaminas asked me to do the same topic here today, so I was thinking what kind of or many other situation we entrap with this kind this illusionary truth. And sometimes we use this illusionary truth for benefit also. Last time I remember Rajika mentioned about positive thinking. So when we use that positive thinking, we always use, okay, I can do this, or memorizing or repetitive thinking in that way. So we use that in a positive manner. If we have a toxic relationship, sometimes we try to be with the person thinking, so I can do and I can overcome this toxic relationship. So we do sometimes we use sometimes this kind of things, but most of the time we fail because illusionary truth is not the truth, real truth. Although it shows like there is a progress or there is a benefit, but long time we can see that there's a not the truth, but the lie behind it. We can see it when we realize it. There is a lie behind that illusionary truth. Sometimes it is too late. And another thing I can remember is concepts. We have all kind of concepts. We have concepts towards or views towards religion, views towards some social developments, political developments. We have all kind of concepts and views. Those concepts and views might not be true. Maybe we are entangled with some kind of lie, and when it happens repeatedly, so it becomes a truth, maybe. So when we analyze or investigate what is happening in our lives, so we can see or we can understand how many lies we believe as a truth. For that, in practice, we come to the practice. It is also, as a beginner, it is also an illusionary truth. We don't know it is truth or not. Because people say, okay, mindfulness is good. Mindfulness is good for overcoming stress. Mindfulness is good for many difficulties. It is a remedy for many difficulties. So we say, we hear this, and that can also be an illusionary truth. We believe it. So it is like there is a God. So we believe, people believe there is a God. And it can be illusionary truth. I'm not saying it is a illusionary truth, but it can be. So likewise, mindfulness is also an illusionary truth, can be. So we use it or we believe it, this kind of illusionary truth, to practice. You know, if we don't have that kind of belief, we can't practice. We can't start from where. We can't start anywhere, from anywhere. So we need to have kind of belief. So belief is can be an illusionary truth. So when we practice, for example, mindfulness, when we start to practice mindfulness, maybe someone else told you, okay, this is the mindfulness. So if you are aware about what is happening in right now, it is mindfulness. So if someone comes, is a very, very first beginner, they don't know what is happening. So it is so difficult for them to come to the right moment or present moment. So when they are struggling, maybe they're thinking, okay, it can't be truth. The mindfulness giving us a kind of relief is not be the truth. Because when they are struggle to do that as a beginner, it is something like, okay, maybe I can't believe it, or maybe it is not the truth. We all get that kind of doubts once in a while, or as a beginner, maybe most of the time, we get that kind of doubt. Is that the truth? Or is it the right way of doing it? Sometimes we say, as a Buddhist, we say, okay, maybe Buddha already told us the truth, but maybe the delivery is not right. Sometimes we feel like that because there are many, many kind of delivery. So people are delivering this message in different ways. So we don't know what to believe or what not to believe. So in that sense, the most important thing is the practice. So when we practice, if we start to practice, then we can see whether it is a truth or not truth. It is actually when you start, you can see, okay, the mindfulness, is there any benefit for practicing mindfulness? So we have kind of, you know, we have a lot of information from scientific base, also from Buddhist perspectives. There are many, many informations, but until someone start to practice themselves, you can't understand it. You can't believe it as a truth. That is why in Buddha says, okay, come and practice yourself and come and see. He didn't say he didn't say believe me. So we also says don't believe us, just practice. If you practice again and again repeatedly, then you will understand whether it is true or not. So for example, when you are practicing, first you can understand who you are. When you're using the body as an object to keep the mindfulness in one place, so you observe your body. So you are aware of your body while you are walking. You know what is happening in the body. So how it goes, how it move, what kind of muscles are involved with, what kind of joints are involved with, how joints are working. All those things you can see by yourself if you are mindful while walking. So another thing is you can understand what kind of how do you feel? How do you feel the surface where you walk on? Sometimes your feet understand like it is cold. Sometimes you understand like it is warm. So how it differs from, you know, you, when your body is warm, that warmer than the surface, you feel cold. When your body is colder than the surface, then you feel warm. So it is always, you can understand there is a always comparison is there. Compared to the other thing, we understand the feelings. Compared to the other things, we understand whatever happening in our body. There is a comparison always. So you need to understand that to understand your body. So if you want to understand what is your body look like or what is your body when it's in action, you need to be mindful. Otherwise, you can't understand. The mindfulness should be there as well as you should do it repeatedly. Then otherwise, you can't understand the differences. If you understand the differences, how you feel when you touch the heel, when your heel is touching the surface, how you feel. It is completely different to when you touch the floor with your toes. So these differences, you see these differences, you need to practice it again and again. Repetition should be there. So when you repeatedly practice, do understand who you are. So maybe before you thought that, okay, my body is like, you know, sometimes some people report like, you know, I never thought that my one foot or one side is shorter than the other side. Or one leg is shorter than the other leg. He never understand before. After being mindful, practicing mindful work, those kind of things we can understand. So before we thought, okay, it's a perfect symmetrical body I have. But later on, when you practice it, you might get the real, or you might get the real understanding of your body. So it is in a body wise. Just go for thoughts. When you observe thoughts, when you maybe it is in a normal life, when you practice for walking and sitting with the breath and the walking feet, so your mindfulness is there. So when you do that repeatedly, your mindfulness, established mindfulness is there. So once you establish the mindfulness in a proper manner, then you can understand your thoughts and feelings. When you understand your thoughts and feelings, then you can understand yourself in a proper way. If you understand your thoughts, you know, I am always thinking in negative manner, or I always thinking in a positive way. I see always something positive in every way or every action. So likewise, if we can understand, oh, sometimes I can feel I am a very kind person, or I am an angry person. So this understanding is very important. Very important to that overcome the illusionary truth. Because before we knew that, okay, we knew there is a benefit of mindfulness, but it can be illusionary truth. Maybe it is a lie. But when you practice for yourself, you understand, okay, my body is working like this and my mind is working like that. The mind is always repeatedly changing. When it's changed, I can understand how it changed. Sometimes in a sad, if there is something happen in a sad situation or something like that, in an office or at home, one person is acting completely different to the other person. So when that happens, you can understand, okay, there are many people in a different way. So different people are different. It is an individuality. So when you understand that, you know who you are and you know how to understand others. When you have that kind of feelings, when you have that kind of understanding, then you can believe what you believe beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning, you believe, okay, mindfulness is a good or beneficiary or benefit for all sort of mental and physical diseases, or maybe any defect or any relationship problems or something like that. You believe it in the beginning. Sometimes we don't believe. Sometimes we have some kind of doubts. But when we practice again and again, we can believe it, or we can see whether it is truth or not, whether it is an illusory truth. So that repetition, the repetitive action or repetitive things happen, not always lie, but most of the time it is lying, because it used in nowadays for media or advertisements or deliver different concepts or different views. But we, as a practitioners, mindful practitioners, we need to use the same concept or same thing to realize what we believe is right or not. This is what I wanted to focus, or this is what I wanted to take according to this topic. What we need to understand is the illusory truth or the repetitive action we need in everywhere for the good and the bad. So it is up to us what we choose. It is up to us how we do it. So a repetitive action, repetitive thinking, repetitive feeling, happening same thing, allowing to happen same thing, is sometimes good, sometimes not good. So last time, according to Rajika, so she said, okay, if we practice metta or something, so we can practice it, and we can have a good aura, or we can spread loving kindness everywhere. But it is a short period. So if we are not in a good place, or if we are not in a good environment, sooner it will change. But if we practice mindfulness and repeatedly, if we do it, then we can understand that myself, that self view, it is a view, it is a concept maybe. So that self view is true or not. So by understanding who I am, so how my body is working and how my mind is working, how my thought patterns are changing from time to time. So when we understand that, when we observe it, we can understand if there is a myself, if there is a self or not. So this also needs the repetitive actions. So when you repetitively focus on your body and the thought patterns or maybe the feelings, then you can understand whether there is a self or not. So the self, last week we stopped, the self or self-view is the most prominent or most we, how would you call, believe illusionary truth. Right from the beginning, when we born, everybody says, okay, there is you, I am, or you are here, I am your father, mother, you are a child, your name is that, this is your hand, this is your eyes, you know, everything is yours and mine, and we separate it, and we give a very big lie about self. So we can say it is a lie, nobody will believe. We can say, okay, there's no self, but nobody will believe it, because there is a self. We can see person. You can see a person is doing something, and they are doing good and bad, and sometimes they change. So you can see it. There's a name, and there's some actions. So you can see it. Then how we can prove someone that there's no self? So this is what we need to do about that. So when you practice mindfulness, when you aware about you, when you more practice, the practice is there, when you know more about yourself and how your mind change and how your body change, then that self view is little bit tough. It's not, I'm not saying it is eradicated or it has already passed away, but there are some broken glasses. It is like a broken glass. There's some kind of not as clear now. There's no any clear view about myself. No clear view about yourself. That when that happens, we can bear most of the things. We can bear any rough situations because we know everything is changing. When we know everything is changing, it is very easy to face, very easy to understand the situation. For example, if someone has a disease or if someone is suffering from a disease, it is continuing or suffering is continuing for years and years, then that repetition, the sickness is coming again and again. So the repetition is there. So we believe that person might believe that it is a permanent thing. So I am suffering and the suffering is permanent for my life. So that is also an illusionary truth. I mean, the suffering or the sickness is not permanent. It is not always permanent. If we are looking at it in a different manner, in a positive way, even sickness is a kind of a silver line in a dark cloud. Because when we have kind of sickness, if we are open enough to look at it like sickness, it is not my sickness. Or it is not my some weakness. If you can see it as any particular thing, a sickness or whatever, weakness or whatever, a positive thing or whatever, this is something I am carrying with. It is not my life. It is not me. So if we can see like that, then it is so easy to distract from that kind of negative feelings. So for that, we need to practice. If we practice, we can understand who I am and what is happening in our lives and what is involved with those things and how the mind is working now and then, how it changed and how it changed with the environment, how it changed with the phenomena around us. So when we see that, the sickness or the any negative things or any toxic relation, they are very impermanent things. It is not permanent things. It is what a very little type of or very little tiny bit of life. Most of the time what we take, it is as a permanent thing. It is any sickness or any negative things, or sometimes we are not happy about what we had as a body. So my face is not good. So sometimes some people think, okay, my eyes are not good, my hair is not good. So different feelings are there with different people. Those things, to overcome those things, we need to understand who I am and what is happening inside me, what is happening inside my mind. And the same thing is happening to other people and same thing is happening in the whole world. So when we come to understand that kind of things, we can manage myself. We can manage that managing strength, we achieve that kind of strength. When we achieve that kind of strength, that means we are not bothered about what is happening. When we are not bothered about what is happening, then we have kind of social awareness. If we are bothered about myself and if we are bothered about what is happening for me, then we are not open enough to look at the social. Society. When we are open enough to look at the society, then we are having kind of relationship with the society and myself. So first, I can see there's no myself. In time to time, I can see, but it not completely I can understand that situation, or I can understand the phenomena about self, but it's still time to time I have kind of understanding. With that understanding, if I can see the society, if I can see the other people, then I can manage or I can build up good relationship with the society and the other people. When that relationship is established, that relationship, it is a skill we develop through the mindfulness. So if you are not practicing mindfulness, if you are not start to practice the mindfulness, we will never see this. We will never understand what is me, or what is happening with me, or what is happening with other people, and what kind of relationship I am taking or I am engaged with, how I deal with my situations, how should I deal with my situations, and how can I change my environment. All those things are depend on me. So we understand that by being mindful. If you practice again and again, if you do that practice again and again, and the repetition, it should be there. With the repetition, with the understanding of myself and with the understanding of others, and we can develop kind of good relationship. And most importantly, we can make good decisions. So to make good decisions, we need to have good relationship. If we need to have a good relationship, we need to understand the society and the individuals in the society. So for that, we can't associate with everybody in the world. We can't associate with all the people in the office. Maybe we see only we talk only one or two sentences for the day, only just meet them. But still we can understand them. How? By being mindful. If we are mindful enough to understand myself, then we can put that inferential knowledge into the society, into the other people, and we can understand others. By doing that, we can make good relationship. That relationship make myself as a good person. I feel I am as a good person, because my relationships are good. I think you all will agree with that. Because if I can't maintain a good relationship, I have feeling that, or everybody has that kind of feeling, that I am not a good person. So always we like to, most of the time, we like to put blame on us, on me, rather than putting the blame to others. Sometimes it is vice versa, it's happening actually. Sometimes some people are not like that. But most of the time we like to blame ourselves. So that blaming myself is also, we can stop like that also, because we can understand by being mindful, we can understand the what is happening around me, what is happening within me is not controllable. It is not something I can control or manage, or I can, there's no agenda. So what is happening around me, there's no agenda. So what I think is not according to an agenda. There's no any. So sometimes I don't want to get angry, but it's come angry. Angry thoughts are coming without any notice. So when that happens, we can't control or we can't think without mindfulness. So what I want to say is, the illusory truth is beneficiary for sometimes, not beneficiary for sometimes. When it is happening in the advertisements, media, politics, and all sort of things in these days, we kind of believe those things are truth, and we go for those things, and we follow them, and we sometimes in a uncontrollable situation. But in here, what we are doing is to practice mindfulness, and we like to understand myself, we like to overcome the stress or anxiety we are facing day to day, and we like to have a good relationship with others and in at home and in office. So we like to have a good life how we while we are living. And the ultimate thing is we like to understand if there is a self or not, or the self view is an illusory truth or not. So for all of this, we need to understand we need to practice the mindfulness. We need to practice it daily. We need to practice in a repetitive manner. So when that happens, we can overcome or we can see the illusionary truth behind the real truth. So saying that, I will sum up the talk. Unfortunately, Venerable Swami Nasa couldn't come, so I hope I will deliver his message, whatever he thought, I don't know. So thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you, Venerable Manio. That was good. I'm sure you delivered the message the way he expected it as well. So next on the agenda is our reports. We will present it to Venerable Manio and see her response. For that, I invite Chamari to start the reports.
Thank you, Sonali. So before actually looking into the reports, I'll just go through the guide. If there are any, for the benefit of anyone who's joining new. So there are two, I have a feeling, Sonali, you would put that in the chat, yeah. So there are two short videos provided by the Nisarnavane. One for mindful walking, one for mindful sitting. And once you've actually watched them, if you can allocate a small time daily to practice the walking and the sitting, even if starting with 5 minutes would be fine, and then increase the time every day. I mean, it does say till you complete at least 1 hour each of the walking and the sitting. I started writing reports when it got to 30 minutes, so feel free. And once you've got a little bit of experience of the practice, write down your experience as a reflective report, including, you know, under the titles Mindful Walking, what you felt, the prominent sensations while walking, such as texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, how the body weight shifted from one leg to another. And under the heading of mindful sitting, you can list prominent sensations such as pressure points, incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils, raising of the abdomen, anything else that you recognize as a sensation. And then you can send your reports via two methods. One is Google Form, which will be in the chat, and via also email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. And then just continue your practice according to the advice given for a report, because we will be presenting those reports in the session to the Venerable, and depending on the guidance, you continue the practice. And the recordings of the past sessions are available. Again, the link is there in the chat. So I'll move now to the reports received for today. So there is one report received, and under walking meditation, on the way to an eye appointment, when advised by optician not to drive, as eye drops used may blur vision, decided to do a session of walking meditation for 1 hour, rather than take bus or taxi. Mind noted right and left feet being placed, then when the pace changed. Initially, mind wandered, but came back spontaneously to feet. decided to see if it was possible to note at what point in lifting, moving, or placing the mind came back. A couple of times this was observed. It was difficult to note when exactly mind wandered, except on one occasion. However, the thoughts that arose were short-lived, and the walk seemed to be a lot shorter than anticipated. Also had the opportunity to help a homeless person on the walk. Sitting meditation. Primary object, watching breath. Observed in and out breaths. Mind calm after short time, despite some short thought proliferating. Mind returning to breath, which broke up, disappeared, and reappeared, mainly in left nostril. Noted hip pain, stretched the sitting without moving, till just before bell went, sat for 50 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Noted mind now mostly stays on task at hand. For example, when driving, no inclination to listen to sermons, but stay with driving, noticing pressure of hands on wheel, cold, soft areas on arms, seat. Cold, soft areas on arms and seat. Observed anxiety when driving down narrow country lanes, especially in the dark and rain. Desire to speak on phone, minimal. Have noted only speak when called or to speak regularly to older relative living on own. In social gatherings, more inclined to listen more than speak, and less interest in other people's activities and experiences. With much gratitude to the venerable and organizers. That's the end of the report, Venerable Rohini.
Thank you. It's an interesting report, actually. Especially, I really appreciate that walking, taking that the advantage of being not being able to drive. And that's a very good positive way of thinking, to using the every opportunity for practicing mindfulness. And in breath, that appeared and disappearance is quite normal. And that even in the mindful walk and the mindful sitting, both situations in this report, it explained sometimes can't understand when it goes wander or going out the mind and coming back is difficult to understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as you know when it is coming back. So, Loku Swaminathan always says that if you know how it come back and where to come back, that is more than enough. So, usually what we think, most of the time what we think that, okay, oh, aparadi. So when this wandering away, so we think, it is wasting of time. So we could do that more than that. No, don't think like that. Whenever come back, just appreciate. The appreciation is the most important thing. When you appreciate, the mind is like a stubborn child. When the stubborn child, when the child is appreciated, so that stubbornness is little bit, you know, dissolving or like a fading away. That even stubborn child wanted to become a more good one. So the mind is like that. Whenever it come back, wherever it goes, what time we don't know, maybe 10 minutes. Out of 15 minutes, 10 minutes is wandering around. But as long as it come back, so admiring it or appreciating it is the most important thing. That appreciation make mind to come back more often. So it will come back more often and it will come back with the mindfulness. So sometimes when that mind come back, we don't know. Sometimes we know it came back. That understand to the coming back is the most mindfulness state of mind. If you can understand it, your mind is not that long time it is away. It wasn't with the primary object. But right now it came back and you know how it came back. That is most important thing. And it's a very mindful person. So I wanted to tell that because it was in the report that when mind is wandered, don't know when it come back. Only once, she or he said only once, could understand. And even in a walk sitting also, the appearing and disappearing is happened and sometimes can't understand, sometimes can't. So in that situation, only I want to say, just appreciate it whenever it come back. Appreciation is the most important thing. When the appreciation happens more and more, then you will understand wherever it go, whenever it go, when it come back with the mindfulness. So that understanding is very important. And day-to-day activities is so also in there. I thought when you are driving, just be a multitask person. Because when you observe in the sitting and the hard feeling, so for a long time, I mean, for 5 minutes or so, you miss most of the things. So when you miss most of the things, driving is not okay with that. You have to have multitask. You have to see the side mirrors. You have to see the back mirror. And, you know, all those things you have to see. So you have to have multitasking in a driving position. So please you can use bare attention, not the mindfulness as sati, but the bare attention is okay, I think. When you have bare attention, you are aware about everything happening around you. When you are aware everything happening around you, then you are mindful also. But it is a bare attention. You are aware of what is passing by and you are aware of what is coming in front of you. You are aware of what is happening behind you. So you are aware. That should be the one you need to practice while you are driving, I think. Otherwise, if you focus on something about only the body, that's not okay. So only that I wanted to say about this report. I hope it's good. Okay. Thank you for sending the report.
Thank you very much, Venerable Manio. Now we do have a little bit of time to open the space for questions or comments. If anyone has anything that they would like to share about the talk today or the feedback for the report or anything else, please raise your Zoom hand and then we'll unmute you to share. There doesn't seem to be any hands raised. Oh, Sonali, yes, please unmute and present, please.
And it's not exactly a question. It's what Venerable Rohini said in the meditation session this morning about being aware of the standing body. It's not something I have done before. I have started walking without being aware of the standing body and actually stood there being aware of the standing body this time. And it was a new experience for me to just observe everything just as I was standing. So I thought I was just mention that. Thank you, Venerable Rohini, for that, because I have been meditating, but certain little things like this I have not been aware of, which would have been so obvious, but until today I didn't make any notice of it. So.
Thank you, Sonali. Actually, when you go to the end of the path, when you turn, you stop there and stay a little while, so before you turn around. So that time also you can use the standing posture to look at, and that will give you a sharp mindfulness in the corner of the path. Before you understand that your feet are like a six steps or six or five or six steps you need to put when you turn in the corner. So before that, if you stand and just 5-10 seconds, just observe the body, and then otherwise in the corner of that end of the path, you lose your mindfulness. It always happen in the beginning, or even for the experienced person, because it is we call iriyapata, the posture train, changing posture, sub postures are there. Many sub postures are there in that corner. So it is for the beginning, or even for when you have very excited day, if you are going to practice, that kind of the posture, observing the posture is good.
Thank you, Venerable.
Thank you, Venerable, for that, and thank you, Sonali, for asking the question. So we have two more raised hands, and I think Panchini was first. Please, Panchini, unmute yourself and present your question or the comment.
Venerable Manyo, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Manyo, with the practice, I have come to the realization that so-called me is only a lot of change of mind states. It's easier to understand others because I know what if they're angry, that mind state will also change. So my issue at the moment is I am noticing, because with the practice, the awareness is increasing and I'm noticing subtle things of in, because I'm going inwards all the time. I am noticing that I am appearing to be a little bit, I don't know whether other people are feeling this, but I am realizing that maybe I'm thinking I'm more superior than the others.
Can be. Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling, but I don't know how to manage it either, because I know I am always talking of Dhamma. Whenever I talk, other people must find me mad. So I know my sister will tell you if I talk, I'm talking Dhamma.
But still, you feel that you are like a superlative mind, kind of mind over to others.
Yeah, I mean, my husband is also a practitioner, but he hasn't learned to go inwards yet. He's doing deep samadhi and he's having to go away from the home to practice a lot. So whenever he discusses the, I don't say anything. He discusses it with me. And then I say, you don't need to go into those deep samadhis. Upachara samadhi is enough. You can go inwards. Just watch your mind. But, then I'm feeling like I'm superior to him. I don't know how to manage this manual.
Don't try to manage.
Yeah.
The most important thing is don't try to manage. Just observe it. That observing is the going inside. So inside, looking at insight is observing only. Don't judge, having any judgmental thoughts towards you or towards anyone else. So now you are judging your husband and yourself too. We don't need to, because as I said in the talk, there's no agenda to this mind. The thoughts are coming without any invitations. No invitations. We are not giving any invitations. They are coming, out of the defilements where we store in our in mind, there are some defilements. That is why the thoughts are filled with, or those thoughts are feed with those defilements. So feed with the conceit, feed with the desires, feed with the how do you call lust. Everything is there. So the thoughts are coming, and thought doesn't have any defilements, but it feed with those defilements. The feeding is the problem, but you can't judge it. If you are judge it, if you are going to judge it, then you are giving bias. The mental bias is there. So if you are having any mental bias, you are not seeing through the right, seeing through the truth. If you are giving any judgment to whatever happening in your mind, thoughts are thoughts. If you give it is my thought and I am thinking that way, then you are not mindful. You are adding up something to your thought. Are you agree with me?
Yes, Manu, I'm fully aware what I'm doing is not right.
Yeah, so
I'm aware.
When that feeling comes up, when that thought come up, just accept it as a thought. Don't take it as my thought. It's a thought is thought. When you give a gravity, when you give it a ownership, it's as a my thought, then it has a gravity. Then it has a very heavy weight. If you don't give that it as a my thought, just let it go without giving stamp, or without stamping it as my thought. It is difficult, but you can try. Most definitely, I am very sure you can try, because now you know it should not be there and you are worrying. Worrying is the bad thing. Don't worry. When it comes, just laugh it at. Yeah, my mind is like that. Just imagine, everybody else is like that. No any exceptions for anyone. Except Arahat. So no exceptions. So don't worry about those thoughts. Just accept it. Okay, thought. So yeah, it says, okay, I am superior than my husband. Or I am superior than my friend. So what? It's just a thought. If you think, yes, it is. If you accept it, if you tick it as yes, then you're in trouble.
Much better.
It will come. You will overcome it. Gradually, it will. You can overcome, but be patient and try it, and don't punish yourself.
Thank you, Panchini, for that question, and it was really useful to hear that, because I'm sure we all do that at different points of the day. So, oh, there was another raised hand and it's disappeared now. Was it Gihanta? Yeah, from my memory, it was. Do you still want to present your question or the feedback? Or open the space for anyone else?
I saw Ashini was raising her
hand. That's right,
but,
and she's not here, Manio, now. Let's see if there are any others who want to make the best out of this opportunity.
You know, yesterday or day before yesterday, I can't remember, that 2 days ago or so, Venerable Vimala Buddhi, yes, Swaminuhansa also did this kind of same statement in Nisarnavane. He said when the other Venerable was reading the book on Saturday, I think, today, or Thursday, I can't remember. So when the other monk was reading, so he was reading, and at the reporting time, or when the discussion has happened, Venerable Vimala Buddhi was saying, okay, I felt I could read more than him. Oh, I maybe I am good, better than him. And why he is taking a glass of water with him, like Lokaswami Nansa. So those kind of thoughts came to him. He admitted it. So those are the things, very, very nice, actually. Even who that lady, Panchani. So very, very nice. It is kind of like vomiting, but without any impulse. It's very nice. That is the sasana.
Thank you, Venerable. I think Gyantha, please unmute and share your feedback or the question.
Thank you very much.
I can't hear you. Gihanta, I'm sorry, it's very hard to hear. There is a lot of disruption.
I'll ask the question again, and if you don't hear, that's okay. Are you able to hear now?
It's still quite bitty, but maybe you can try your best. We'll try
Okay.
to.
Fine. I will now ask the question, and if it doesn't come through, that's okay. So, this is about what Venerable Rohini said in the talk today. She said that
Gihanta, could we could I sorry, Gihanta, is it possible for you to actually maybe type the
Write it.
write it in
Yes.
the chat?
That's okay.
Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
He asked him something about the talk, but I couldn't get what he said.
Wasn't a very good line. I think, if it's typed in the chat, we'd be able to read out. He's dropped out.
Maybe he's while he's on the way or something.
It's possible that either he's in the car or something, because it just didn't sound clear at all. So we are at the end, I mean, the last 5 minutes of the session now, and I don't see any other hands raised, and I think I will hand back to Sonali.
Thank you, Chamri. That was really good. Good question session as well. And for Gihanta, if you could write the question to us, we will present it next week. I'm really sorry we could not hear your question very well. Next time when that happens, you could type the question in the chat, like Chamari said, and we will be able to take it then. So thank you, everyone. We have come to the end of the session now. On behalf of all the organizers, I would like to thank Venerable Rohini for all the time that she has spent with us this week and last week. And I would also like to ta thank our usual teacher, Venerable Homagamadamma Kosala Thero. And also may this merit go to the Chief Abbot of Nisaranawaneya, who initiated this program, Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero. May this merit help to improve their own practice as well. Thank you to all the organizers who are working really hard behind the scene to bring this program to you, and to everyone who participated via Zoom and Facebook, and anyone who will be watching it later as well. So as usual, our program will commence next week at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And we hope to see you again, and we wish everyone a happy and mindful week ahead.